Good morning. Church is a little lopsided. Everyone's fallen over to that side of the church. It's all right. The fact that you're all here is the main thing. This morning I want to focus on Simeon's prayer that he prayed when Jesus came to be dedicated. And in particular, there's one part, one line in that prayer that I want to focus on this morning, where Simeon said that Jesus would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. And it's interesting because that wasn't just a prayer, it was in fact a prophecy. Because when you jump forward sort of 30 or so years when Jesus began his public ministry, Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world." And it's interesting when you go through the Bible and you look at the word light, it's mentioned over 200 times in various contexts, but there's lots of those times when it is spoken about, it's referring to God being the light, being a light to us. So why would Jesus describe himself as being the light of the world? And you could go very deep into theology here, and we're not going to do that. But very simply, because Jesus is the light of the world, because without him, we and this world are in darkness. Obviously not physical darkness, because you know, God created the sun, but rather spiritual darkness. Now, as Christians, we obviously believe that there is an unseen spiritual world. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And the Bible says that God is spirit. But to really bring home the point of why Jesus called himself the light of the world, we need to look at something Paul wrote in Ephesians. And it's quite a well-known scripture. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." See, this world that we live in is at war. And it's been at war since way back to Adam and Eve. And it's not a war between Trump and the Democrats. It's not a war between Ukraine and Russia, or Israel and Hamas. It's not a war between rich and poor. It's a war between good and evil, or God and Satan. Or in today's context, it's a war between light and darkness. See, all the things I've mentioned above, like Trump and Democrats and all that, they're just physical evidence of a spiritual war that is happening. So here's something to think about. You think about good and evil are at opposite ends of the scale. God and Satan are at opposite ends of the scale. Light and darkness at opposite ends of the scales. But here's a question. What about the church and the world? Are they at opposite ends of the scale? And when you think about it, that's a very confusing question. And I know it's confusing because I was confused when it came into my head. It's a confusing question because in many ways, the church isn't that different. And what I mean by that is that, for example, you know, out there in the world and among people who don't believe in Jesus, there are loving, caring people. And within the church, there are loving, caring people. Out there in the world, there are people who struggle with illness. And here in the church, there are people who struggle with illness. Out there in the world, bad stuff happens. And sadly, sometime within churches, bad things happen. And the reason for these similarities is simply because, you know, we're all people on a journey through life, And this life has its challenges. And sometimes those challenges will show up our wrinkles and our warts and everything else that we don't want people to see. But the big difference is between the church and the world is that we have Jesus and his word and his light to guide us. Now that well-known scripture in Psalms, it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." We have the light of Jesus to guide us, if we let him. The world that doesn't believe in Jesus, the world out that thinks that Jesus was just a good person, or Jesus was just a work of fiction in a book, they don't have that light. This last week and a half, some of you will know, I've been on a jury for a trial that involved some very serious crimes. I won't go into details, I don't want to go into details, but without sounding dramatic, I've seen and heard the dark side of humanity in that courtroom. From my perspective, I've listened to people who desperately need to hear the good news about Jesus. Despite the crimes committed, those people can know Jesus' healing and his forgiveness. I 100% agree, with that statement, you do the crime, you do the time. But that doesn't mean that they or their victims have to stay in that darkness of guilt or the darkness of hurt and pain and loss for the rest of their lives. And I had this question here. Where are our hearts? Are we willing to pray for those people like that? Or do we just write them off and think they've done the crime, their problem? No. Are we lukewarm, not just to criminals, but to anybody who doesn't know Jesus? And I'm reminded of the words that Jesus spoke when he first began his public ministry. Some of the very first words he spoke, he quoted from the Old Testament. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." See, we were all captives and blind in darkness before, by the grace of God, he shone the light of Jesus into our hearts. Cindy read just before, part of her reading, "For God who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made his light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." Jesus' light shines in our hearts. And to expand on that truth, Jesus declares in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world." And then he goes on a bit further to say, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We are the light of the world. We, the church, and individuals in it. So another question, how bright is our light shining? Are we just a little dim candle? Or are we like a huge spotlight? And I would suggest that the answer to that is how closely we walk with Jesus. Because sometimes, and I know in my own life, little attitudes sneak in, little things that I do that I know I shouldn't really be doing sneak in, and all those little things they start to dull the light. So how do we fix those little attitudes and things like that? What can we do? And if we circle back to the gospel reading this morning, which talked about what Simeon and Anna said when Jesus came to be dedicated. If you read through that carefully, there's a lot of keys in there about, because Simeon and Anna were very godly people. And if we go through there and you can see some of the things that they did, and those are the things that we do that will help our light to shine brightly. It says Simeon was moved by the Spirit. You know, sometimes you get that little voice in your head or just in your heart that says just to do something. You know, sometimes it'll be just pray for that person. Or if somebody comes on your heart to, you know is struggling, well, you know, just take them a meal, something like that. When you get that little voice in your head, do we obey it? And then it also says that Simeon praised God. How often do we praise and thank God for just everything that we have? Just like the country we live in. I mean, you think around the world, all the dramas and the wars and the pain that people go through. I mean, relatively speaking, we live in this beautiful country. That alone is worthy praise God for. And it says Simeon prayed. You know, we all pray, but when we pray, we're connecting with God. And sometimes when our light, you know, we think our light's getting a little bit dull, maybe it's because we're not praying. And it doesn't have to be big, mighty prayers, anything like that. It could just be simply talking to God. Some people pray simple prayers like, God, help me find a car park. Little things like that. I know, I live with somebody who does that. Personally speaking, I will go and try and find a free car park. But no, someone I live with wants to find a car park as close as to where she wants to go. But anyway, ask me where free car parking is, I'll tell you. Close to town. Simeon blessed Joseph and Mary. How often do we bless people with just by saying something kind to them or doing something nice for them, just blessing people? And then there's Anna. It says, Anna worshipped God. She fasted and prayed. We come to church to worship every Sunday and we pray. How are we going at fasting? I'm going badly at fasting. And it says, Anna spoke about Jesus. And I think there is something very powerful when we share about the love of Jesus to other people. I think that just turns the light bulb up in our own lives. And we mustn't forget about Joseph and Mary, because there's two things they did in this story that hold keys to our light shining brightly. One is that they knew what they had to do regarding Jesus' dedication. And the only way they could know about the rules around dedication was because they knew the Bible that they had, which was the Old Testament at that time. How well do we know our Bibles? How often do we read them? Secondly, they obeyed the Bible. Knowing the Bible is one thing, obeying it is the other thing. They bought Jesus to be dedicated. They bought the offering that they had to bring. Now, there's other things in the Bible that we should be doing, but I just wanted to focus on those things that Simeon and Anna and Joseph and Mary did. Things that we should do, that we should pray, praise, worship, fast, bless people, read the Bible, obey the Bible. And when we speak to others about Jesus, then the light of Jesus will shine brightly. I'll just finish by reading well-known scripture in the first chapter of John from verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, and never ever will. We're on the winning side. If we stick with Jesus, live for Jesus, put him first in our lives, then we are on the winning side. I'd just like to pray as I end. Father God, I thank you that you have given us the privilege of being your light in this world. And I pray that throughout this year and years to come, that our lights would shine brightly, that we would show the love of Jesus to everyone around us, that we would be like a lighthouse, you know, in that darkness and in the, you know, murky waters of life, that we would be a lighthouse that would direct people, to show people Jesus, to show his love, to show his reality in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.